Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Fuchina Carcanal, and it's always a privilege and a pleasure to be here tonight. I cannot begin to tell you how much I am happy to be here tonight. I thank you all for tuning in every night. I know we took a little hiatus for the past 2 weeks, but I am back and very excited and very revved up for what God has in store. You know, I don't start my evening off without prayer, so let's just go straight into it. So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you and we praise you. We give you the highest praise, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. You are worthy to be praised. It is the highest and most definitely the worthy for you, Lord. I thank you for grace and mercy, but most of all, your unconditional love. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to see another day. It is another day that you have kept us, and we thank you for the opportunity to get it closer to you, to come closer with you, to mend relationships. I ask you to forgive me and forgive all of us, Lord, of all of our sins in thought, word, and deed. And Lord, as we move forward tonight and we talk about this topic, the pain and some of the heartaches that comes along with our life and how it's masked behind a smile, I thank you for just decreasing me, Lord. Decrease me so I may, that I may invite your Holy Spirit in, that he will saturate me and all of the everyone who's listening tonight. I thank you for those who are on the way to visiting Chronicles and those who may not be able to catch us now but will be able to catch us on the demand. Lord, I thank you for just who you are. You are just marvelous and wonderful and just majestic. I thank you and I praise you, Lord. You are awesome. You are wonderful. You are worthy. I just can't stop giving you the honor and praise on this Pentecost Sunday. And as we move forward tonight, Lord, I ask that you just take the mask off right now, starting with me. Let me do it. I don't want to stop now. Let me take my mask off tonight so I may help someone. And Lord, I just ask that if this is just helping one person tonight, then I have done the job that you have called me to do, or you have called me to do. And I thank you for those who are pending on the line soon to get on board. And as we move forward tonight, we give you the honor, we give you the praise, we give you the love, we give you the joy, we give you respect. Hallelujah, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. When I was thinking of the topic, or when I was coming up or trying to decide what kind of topic, I usually always let God lead me in doing it, but I found myself trying to do it and realized I wasn't able to do it. And I had to allow myself that time to have God to have his conversation with me, and still is conversating with me. And throughout this series, I'm getting ready to start soon. I'll be talking about that later. Tonight I'm going to focus on a smile. Everyone who knows me, and I always tell people, I leave my life when I start the show and when I talk about things that happen on the show, it's something I have gone through, going through, or have experienced. Tonight is no different. This topic is very special and dear to me because it's allowed me to become vulnerable. Like the last episode I had with the OPP, becoming very vulnerable, and this is no different. So let's just go into it, and let's talk about hiding behind your smile or hiding behind the smile. Let's face it. I saw this quote as I was researching about talking tonight, and some of the quotes that came to me, this one stuck out. It says, sometimes the strongest among us are the ones who smile through the silent pain, cry behind closed doors, and fight battles nobody knows about. The author, I don't know who it is. It's an unknown author. But I couldn't help but to relate to that in so many ways. How many people out there have gone through life with that smile? You know that smile, and I'm going to speak to women in particular because as women, we are designed like for trucks. We're designed to be tough. And we are designed, especially if we're mothers, we're wives, we're daughters, granddaughters, caretakers. We're just designed to be Ford tough because we have no choice, especially if you're the oldest or you're the backbone of the family. And it's sometimes, it's wear and tear on you. And regardless of what goes on and people see your smile, they just think that everything is okay, that, you know, life must be maybe good. And there's just so much pain going on behind your smile. And I have to relate it to women because we are the ones that deal with it the most. We have single mothers. I'm going to use them as an example. You have single mothers who, one, don't have the participation of the father. So they don't have to be the mother. They can't be the father because we can't teach our men, our boys to be men, but we can just treat them how to treat a woman. You have the besides being the mother, then you have to go out and work a full-time job. And then you have to be, if you're in school, you're going to school because you're trying to make things better for your life, for your child, or for your children. So now you have multiple hats. So the truth of the matter is you can't really get sick because even when you're sick, you still have to be better because you have children on board. You have to be the mother. You have to be the nurse. You got to be the doctor. You got to be the counselor. You got to be everything. And it's just pressure in this life. And then, you know, it's hard. It becomes really hard at times. And when people see strong women, and particularly, then they see the smiles on their face and they're just thinking that everything is okay. Sometimes it's not okay. You know, I'm going to also go to pastors. I have some friends of mine that are pastors or are their shepherds' churches, and I have quite a few of them. And what I hear the most is it's hard. They have a lot of hats that they have to wear, and sometimes they're just not okay. You know, it just, they're not okay. And they wear the smile, just like single mothers. We wear the smile, but sometimes we're screaming behind our smile. We're screaming behind the mask. And I'm just wondering if anyone is out there that could share and what I'm talking about tonight, because there's quite a few out there, whether you're a single mother or whether you're just going through, you just have the pressures and the of our society, of this world, that's caused many pains in your life that you don't really know how to deal with it but smile. I mean, you know, you don't want to, some people take worse scenarios and steps, but we're not going to go there, but you just have people who are going to push through it, and they push through it with a smile. They just push through it with a smile. I commend all of you who can do that and who do that, because when people ask, how do you do it? Sometimes you don't have a choice. You don't have a choice. And I'm just going to relate to single mothers because I'm a single mother myself. You don't have a choice. And I'm just wondering if there's anyone else out there stands exactly what I'm referring to. Before I move forward, you are chiming into Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. My name is Puchina Kirkendall, and it's always a pleasure. You're more than welcome. If you feel that someone could be blessed by this series tonight or by this show tonight, please have them call in, and they can tune into the show by doing a couple things. One, they can log in by logging to www.blogtalkradio.com/chroniclesofafondlewoman.com. Another way that they can do is if you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page, Chronicles of a Fonda Woman, and all you have to do is click the link, and you can listen into the show. That's all you do is click the link, and it'll automatically tune you into the show. And those who are like to email me, I want, first of all, thank you for emailing me. Your testimonies, your responses, everything is so appreciated because you just never know the impact that you have by just sharing. And the best way you can help someone is by sharing your story. And that's what this is all about. Also, there are times when I do open up the lines, and I love open dialogue. That's what makes the show go so well, when people don't mind coming in and sharing. Please, if you would like to share, you're more than welcome to text me at 843-9441. The only thing I need for you to do, I will just say, all I need for you to do is say, chime me in, and just let me recognize it. I will text you back and let you know that I am going to chime you in. And if you want to just leave a comment for me to just repeat over the air, because you don't want to get on the air, that's fine. The only thing you need to do is just call the same number, 678, or text the same number, 678-887-9441, and just indicate and text "just share," and then send me your text that you would like for me to share. So with that being stated, I'm going to move forward with it. Society today, with Corona going on right now, with people losing their jobs right now, with so many things going on, and right now the current status of the shooting and the looting and just so many of the pressures of life and the pains of life has just caused people to snap. I mean, totally snap. To a degree, I get the snap. I do. However, I'm not cool with looting, because there's so much power in voting. And I'm just going to get on that for one second. There is power in your vote. Please vote, and it matters. Going back to the topic, as a single mother and as single mothers, dealing with so many hats, mother, being the nurse, being the counselor, being the taking care of the boo-boo, being the whatever that we have to do is what we have to do, and working a full-time job. And if you're a student, doing that on top of taking care of the full-time job. And I always tell people, you know, when I leave my 8-to-5 or my 9-to-5, my real job begins, and that's motherhood. That is motherhood. And as women of God, or women, period, we are strong. We're built for tough, and there's no doubt about that. And we do what we have to do. Now, I'm sure you all, as mothers or those who have had to do this, have had to do the digital learning not too long ago. Well, working a full-time job 8 hours and then coming off and having to do digital learning, I'm not sure about anyone else, because I can't wait to hear other people's opinion on it. That was very hard for me. It was very, very challenging, but it was rewarding in the end, knowing that my son got promoted. But when I say it was challenging, I don't know about anyone else, but I had more Zoom appointments that I care to imagine. I just didn't realize that it was very intense, but we got through it. And to go through that, still maintain your productivity at work, still nurse your children or nurse your child when he's sick, and nurse yourself, because I still have to go to my doctor's appointments and stuff, and still maintain and keep a level head. We have no choice to do it. But when I tell you that when there is a smile, I handle it with a smile. And when I remember being asked, well, how do you do it? And I'm like, how do I do what? How do you maintain? I don't have a choice. I have to maintain. So for me, I depend on God, because you all know that I'm a Christian. So I depend on God for everything. And if it wasn't for his grace and mercy, I wouldn't have been able to endure, because he gives me the strength that I need. And he surrounds me around the people I need to get me through, because it's not easy. But as a person who goes through this life, you know, when people see you smiling, they just automatically assume that you got it in control, that everything is good. You know, there are times when I just like to quote, there are times when I'm fighting my battles. There are times I'm crying at night. There are times when I am going through silent pain, but I'm not going to show that, because not how we're designed. We're designed to survive. We are survivors. and we will survive because that is how we're designed to do. Not only because of the carnal side, but as a spiritual side, God created especially women to do what we need to do when we need to do it. And he will provide as long as we put our trust in him. So I'm just asking anyone tonight who's out there, have you or your experience in hiding behind your smile? That I know for me, there are times I want to literally scream, and there are times when I have to do it. I go in my closet. That's my walk-in closet. It's my prayer closet. It's my mommy time. I need mommy time place. It's my safe haven place that I go, and I'm literally putting my head in a pile of clothes or something just to scream, just to get something out, or just I find myself crying. So I just find it's very, very interesting because people mistake meekness for weakness, because there are times when you have to endure certain things around people. When you got stuff going on, then you got to deal with foolishness on top of that, and yet you still have to maintain that smile. Now, is that easy? No, because I thank God for grace, because the old Sheena probably would have handled things a little differently. But I'm so grateful for who he is and how he has kept me. When God, this song says, it's another day that the Lord has kept me, he has definitely kept me from all evil. And my mind stays on Jesus because it's gotten me through. And there's no other way. There is no way I cannot see myself doing it any other way. When I think about Paul in the Bible, you know, how Paul was a very intelligent man. We all know the story behind Paul. He was Saul first, and he was nothing to play with because he couldn't stand Christians, and he would always lead the fight out to, you know, persecute Christians. And when God thought, you know, like, I need to use him and use him for me, and he became a powerful vessel for God, and he converted so many people. But some of the stuff he went through, I mean, the beatings, the wear and the tear, and throughout it all, you know, the temptations, everything, he still held fast. And that is how we are. We still held fast. And when I wonder, and when people ask me that question, how do I do it? It's just like no one else. I'm sure other people have done it too. You don't have a choice. And when you don't have a choice to do something, you do what you have to do. So I'm just saying, I thank you all for tuning in, because I see those who are logged in. I thank you very much. Like I said, if you're interested in saying something, just shoot me a text and say, chime me in. I will love to chime you in, and we'll move forward from that. But as we're, I'm going to continue to say, just continue to share. Why do we hide behind that mask sometimes with that smile? And I could, you know, like I said, I can only talk about me, but I'm looking so forward to hearing other people's opinions tonight on this one. But for me, I have no choice. I am the breadwinner in the house. I am the counselor. I am everything in the house. I have to make it happen. There is no support, quote unquote, or that husband, quote unquote, to do it. So I have to do it. And sometimes I'm not going to let people in my circle, or because I don't trust everyone, to put them in my circle, or allow myself to become vulnerable to put you in a circle, because, to be honest with you, our little sense of pride is, I can't show that sign of weakness, you know. But there are people that God has placed in my life where I can trust to be vulnerable and know that it's going to be okay, because I have times in my life when I have been vulnerable and people have taken that to a place they shouldn't have took it. So it's caused me to be even more precautious. And I've learned to do that, not just physically, but when I learned to do it spiritually. And I will encourage anyone, if you're not in tune with God, get in tune with the spirit of discernment, because you want to discern who is really for you and who is not really for you. But throughout it all, his grace and mercy will get us through this, no doubt about that. So as I move forward today, like I told you, if you know anyone that could benefit from this this call tonight, please invite them to just tune in at 9. They can call in at 914-338-1552. or they can actually go onto the link. They can go on Facebook and go to my Chronicles of a Fonda Woman page. You can click onto the link, or you can actually type in www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I believe I gave that wrong earlier. So that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And as I move forward tonight, I, like I mentioned, and I just want this to be about me, I just like using myself as an avenue to let you know that there are people out there that go through the same thing you go through, and your testimony can help someone else doing it. And that's what this is all about. It is all about sharing testimonies and being of like mind, because you do have people out there who are going through the same thing, who may not know how to deal with it, or who wanted advice, or whatever the case may be. Everyone can learn from someone. And so I have someone on the line now that I'm just looking forward to hearing what she has to say. Are you there? Hello.
I'm here.
Okay. Thank you for holding, and welcome to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. I'm sure you caught the show. If you haven't, let me give you an update. We're talking about hiding behind your smile, or the smile. And we're just talking about how some of the pressures of this world can cause us to have pain. And I was using single mothers or pastors and stuff, those who are in authority, as an example, you know, especially single mothers, because we wear so many hats, and yet we handle it with a smile, whether it's with our job, with our children, school. And I'm sure if nobody can relate to this, I know that you may have a testimony on this.
Of course, I always have a testimony. Hey, everybody. Do I normally say my name? I can't remember.
It's up to you if you want to introduce yourself.
Well, I am the trusty, dusty sidekick, Roxanne. You know, for Tina and I, we have a really wonderful friendship. We share a lot. And I think that a relationship that matters, because there's things that each of us deals with that the other, like, we truly, deeply understand because we've been there. Not saying that you can't have a friend that's going through something that you haven't gone through. I'm just saying for us. But when she told me about tonight's topic, I was like, I got this. So I'm going to go back as far as high school. I'm 41 right now, but I remember in high school, even today, people will talk about how I was in high school. Oh, we've never seen her upset, you know, never saw her get in a fight, you know, always smiling, always happy. And I remember the point in my life where I started going through counseling, because, like, Fashina, you know, I am a survivor of childhood molestation and abuse. And so I remember saying to myself, there was a time that I was smiling all, I mean, every picture I found from high school, always smiling. Nobody knew, except for a few people, the hell that I had went through. Like, I felt like I was crying inside all the time, but no one knew. I never showed that side. I understand that, you know, people shouldn't be all in your business and you shouldn't tell people everything, but there's a big difference between keeping people out of your business and suppressing all the pain and the stuff you've gone through. Like, I had never gone to counseling or anything like that. And once I had started going to counseling, and taking off this mask that I was showing to people and being who I truly was, like, I remember saying, wow, like, I'm smiling now, and it's true. Like, I'm smiling because I'm really happy. I'm not smiling because I'm trying to hide some pain or anything like that. Now today, of course, you know, I have moments where somebody's maybe mad at work or whatever, and I'm smiling even though I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to throat punch this person. But, again, to me, that's different from being broken spiritually and emotionally, and you are still broken. You're not working on anything. You're not going to counseling. You're not seeking spiritual guidance or anything like that. But I just remember always smiling, never being sad. And if I did cry, it was away from everyone. Or like I said, I had a couple friends. They knew what had happened to me. And, you know, we were all young, so I don't think they knew to say, hey, maybe you should go get counseling, you know. It wasn't until I got into adulthood that I got counseling. And I think for me right now, that's why I am the way I am with my children when it comes to counseling. I don't want my children to be hurting on the inside and they're pretending that they're not. Like, I want them to be their true selves. Like, today, I feel like I am my true self. I'm still in counseling. I will remain in counseling because that and Jesus are the two things that has helped me, you know, work through things that I have been through and things that have happened to me. I don't want to say get over things that have happened to me because that's really not the truth. Work through what has happened to me, kind of analyze it and break it down, but then to know who I truly am. We wear masks because we don't want people to see the true us. When you've been victimized, you have a false sense of yourself. Some of us have shame because somehow we think it's our fault. So you don't want people to see that shame on you. You don't want people to look at you and be like, oh, she's fast, or she's this, or she's that. So you wear this mask because you're trying to hide what you think people are going to see. And the truth of the matter is you shouldn't be ashamed because it's not you. It's not your fault. There's nothing you could have done any different because the majority of us are children. You know, these things that happened to us were adults that did it to us. But the more that I have gone through therapy and counseling and, again, spiritual counseling in conjunction with counseling is just so important because I am truly able to walk in who I am. Like, I know who I am. When you see me, if I'm smiling, I'm smiling. If I don't have a facial expression, that means I'm not going to say I'm not feeling you, but I try not to lie. I'll put it like that. Like, I try to be genuine in my feelings, and that includes being happy. Yes, I don't want everybody in my business all the time, but at the end of the day, I'm genuinely happy. Like, it's genuine. When I smile, it's genuine. I'm smiling all the time. I show my pearly whites. I've used toothpaste a lot. I like whitening toothpaste. I'm always smiling. I want people to see my teeth. No, I'm sorry. That's not why I'm smiling. But I get compliments on my teeth all the time. People are like, I have such white teeth. Because I'm always smiling. And, you know, if you're going to be flashing them that much, you got to make sure they're bling. So when I smile and you see me smile, know that it's genuine. If I'm upset, you'll know it. But most of the time, I am happy, and I'm genuinely happy. Genuinely, it's not like it was before. And I felt that difference. Like, I never felt that feeling before again, you know, that I felt back then. If I'm going to cry and be upset, it's going to be visible. But I'm never again going to walk around day in and day out my whole teenage life, I'll say. I'm just going to focus on high school that time. Just broken and sad and, oh, my God. But you would never, ever know. Never, ever know. And some people might think that's a good thing. But at some point, things come to a head. You know what I'm saying? To me, it wasn't like to me, it was just not good because I wasn't seeking any counseling or any help. Things just kept actually just compounding itself because other stuff was happening, you know, just me being a teenager and growing up and, you know, getting to adulthood. So I just think it's important for people to remove those masks and who you think you want people to see you as, but for you to be who you genuinely are, be genuinely happy. And if you smile, make sure your smile is from your soul, not from your heart. Your smile is from your soul. You know what I'm saying? That's deep to some people, but it is. My smile comes from my soul because I know I'm free. I know that the things that I've gone through, I've worked through those things. I know who I am in God. I know who I am as a black woman. I know who I am as a mother. And there's nothing different anybody can tell me. So when I say I am happy in my soul and my smile comes from that deep, I mean that. And I just would like for other people to experience those things that I have and see that counseling is really very important for everyone, especially if you've had something, you know, traumatic or major that has happened to you in your life. People just be like, oh, I just got over that. That's not true. It's really not. You got to work through stuff. You got to work through your feelings, and then you'll really see how it feels to be genuinely happy in your soul and not this fake little smile that you do.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about, I want to go back to something when you were, I want to talk more in your adult years. I know in your teen years there, you was feeling a certain kind of way. I totally get that. But at what point was it in your adult years when you got to that point where when you smile, it was genuine?
It started like I was married and we were going through some bad stuff. Like, I think I had been mobilized with the military after 9/11. It was a lot of stuff going on, but we eventually ended up getting a divorce. So when I started going to counseling, then that kind of was like the beginnings of it. But it took me some time. I wasn't as broken as I was in high school, I think, because when I did start the counseling, it was premarital counseling, not premarital. It was marriage counseling, but he never came, so I just use it for myself. But that was the beginning stage for me in the happiness part. Like, truths about myself were coming out about my life, and it wasn't until I would say maybe 5 years ago. I had a big transformation about 4 or 5 years ago, but I would say maybe about 10 years ago, my happiness started to be genuine. But I think over the past, like maybe 5 years, it has just gone to another level. And that's why I think it's important for us to make sure our kids aren't going through these things, because they compound themselves, and then you become this adult that has to peel back all these layers like an onion of all the stuff you've been hiding. Like I said, at high school, I you know, because I'm just remembering that, but then growing into adulthood and having a kid and getting married and joining the military, like there's all these other things that compounded that. And so my process was a process, you know, because there was getting past the military stuff, getting past the failed marriage, you know, getting past blah, blah, blah. I think for me, I would have to say, like, maybe the past 5 years, I have been genuinely, like, the happiest I've ever been. And I think a big part of that is because I really know who I am. And I walk in the truth of who I am and what I've been through. And I think that makes a big difference. If you're not true and honest to yourself about yourself, it's hard for you to be genuinely happy. So going to counseling with my pastor at the Awesome Believers Enrichment Ministries, Pastors Ruben and Betty Wright, I'm throwing in a plug for my church. But we have a group called Beauty for Ashes. And so through this group and me going through, you know, being molested and talking about those type of things, it's just really opened me up to a whole new world of who I am, the false narrative of, you know, my life, and just allowing me to understand who I truly am, walking in it, being honest with myself. You know, I don't think I could be any happier. Well, I take that back. I could be. But just where I came from till now, yeah, everybody has issues and trials and tribulations. Outside of that, though, the last 5 years specifically, I've just grown into genuinely being more happy, walking in my truth, standing my ground, saying what it is and what it ain't, being direct. Because I think when you're true to yourself, it just heals a lot. It healed a lot for me, like I said, just in my soul. Like, I'm happy. When I make a decision, I made the decision because I want to, not because the little girl in me is afraid of what so-and-so might think, and so I'm going to make this decision because I'm thinking about how everybody else is going to think. No, when I make decisions now, it's, I don't want to go there. Oh, well, let's just, I don't want to go, so I'm not going to go. Like, to me, those are major things that helped me. The counseling helped me work through that and ultimately truly, genuinely happy knowing I know who Roxanne is, honey. I mean, I walk with, it's like it oozes when I'm out and about. We quarantine now, so I don't be out and about like that. But just normally when I'm out and about it, when I'm walking around work, I walk with this confidence like I am genuinely happy and I know who I am. And ain't nothing you can say to change that as an adult. I know who I am. And I don't want my kids to ever get to that point where they have to get in their adult lives and they need a bunch of counseling and therapy to, you know what I'm saying, to reach them at that place deep in their soul. I don't want that for them. So because no one did that for me, I have to make sure I do that for them. And anybody that I talk to or reach out to, the students that I talk to, I'm saying, listen, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be true to yourself. You have to be. And being genuinely happy is a start, because I'm telling you, you don't want to live your life for everybody else and just making decisions for everybody else. And, you know, that's not something I want to do or continue to do. So I wish I had it done a long time ago, but the last 5 years of my life have just been very eye-opening. And, you know, I can take a deep breath and just like, oh, it just feels good to know that when I'm smiling and I'm happy, believe me, that's how I'm feeling. There's no fakeness about it.
So basically you're saying it was a process for you.
Definitely. Because I had to
go
through it alone. No one, I don't feel like anyone really helped me or even tried to help me get there. Like, the only reason that I ended up working on it was because I was like, okay, I'm going through this thing in my marriage, and then something came up within me and I was like, okay, let me go talk to someone. But I wish someone had tried to help me, you know, the process would have started sooner. It wouldn't have taken as long, but I can't go back and change any of that. You know what I'm saying? I think that's why you doing the show and these things getting out there allows people to hear it and pass it on. Like, maybe you know a young girl who's going through some stuff. Like, this is to help everybody at every stage. And, you know, we got some older folks out there that it's like, you need to start the process. But some people don't have anybody to help them. They don't know where to start. Or they feel embarrassed that they have to even go through that process. And at the end of the day, that's the whole thing that stops us. You thinking about what other people think or how other people are going to look at you, which is why we wear false masks, why we smiling and we faking it, because we worrying about everybody else. But that's, unfortunately, that's just what happens a lot of the time. But the process, it is a process, but it has to start somewhere, you know?
Well, I can relate to a lot of things on what you're saying on putting on that mask, because you don't want people to feel like, for me, I didn't want people to feel I was vulnerable. You know, I always felt like I had to always stay tough because it was always me. I had to work my way out of a lot of things. And I remember after having my second child, you know, I went through a lot of traumatic stress through the relationship after I had my son, well, while I was having my son, after I had my son, it was just one thing after another. And then after I had him, not being able to go to the counseling I needed because I didn't have the support I needed to do the counseling. And I learned how to be intradependent, depending on God, and then learning how to depend on myself, because I was really independent. I went through many years not having to do anything. Everything was done for me. So it was always this false reality that I knew what to do. No, I really didn't. I didn't know how to really survive on my own because I wasn't really taught that. You know, I wasn't taught the value of having your own place, you know, saving up your money. I was just told to save, but what does that mean? Save for what? You know, I always had someone taking care of me. So once I had my youngest son, that whole ordeal just changed my whole life. And to see the woman that I am now based on the woman I was before, prior to moving to the Georgia area, I am just truly amazed. My brother is the one that you really need to commend yourself, because when I think about it, it's just one of the things I had to do what I had to do. And we don't think that we are strong enough to handle this stuff. But we are. God will give us that strength that we need. If you rely on Him, you got to go to that, whether it's your God or your inner source, whatever that thing is, you know, you go and find that strength and you will get through. And as far as the mask is concerned, a lot of people have masks for so many reasons. It could just be one, they don't want to share because it's none of your business. One, it could be you're just maybe an introvert. One, it could be a narcissist too. You know, it could be so many reasons, but in this case, we're talking about being broken, you know, having that mask on because you have to do what you have to do, being traumatized because you have to do what you have to do. But I even remember having that mask on, not knowing who I am. So my mask always changed. It was always like I was like a clown in a circus. I just changed for the scene. You know, I went as far as that part, not knowing who I was, and not only not knowing who I was, but whose I was, is one of the things that I struggled with a lot. And it wasn't until mainly into my adult years, and I'm talking like past 30s, you know, 30s, coming into my late 40s, that I started realizing who and whose I am. And I still dealt with some of the struggles that went with it because of the addiction that I had. But now that I know, and I know that I know, it's different. Do I still have those? Do I still wear my smile? You know, there's something going on behind my smile. Yes. There are times that even as mothers, we're not going to show our kids what we're going through because we don't want them to feel a certain kind of way. So I find myself either going into a closet or going, you know, at night where I'm by myself and, you know, they're sleeping. I can, you know, express myself, whether it's through tears, whether it's through screaming, or whether it's through whatever, you know, to get it out. But I've learned, you know, when we start talking about the many things behind the smile, you know, we can't keep that stuff bottled in. I remember my aunt telling me, Tina, I'm not going to die of a heart attack because I let things sit on my chest. And I didn't understand it at first, but now I do. And so I was remember working at a particular job. I would keep like slips, sheets of like little slips of paper at my desk. And whenever I felt a certain emotion or I felt a certain thought, I would just write it on a sheet of paper. And then I would tear it up and throw it away because I just had to get it out. And for me, that was my way of getting it out because I couldn't let it be pent up because I had two heart attacks. So I can't be trying to have another one, you know. So I just found it that way to get it out, you know. And I'm also finding that writing, you know, talking about solutions. That's what we're talking about right now, solutions, when you start talking about some of the things that are behind the pain and stuff behind the mask or letting it out. Because some people don't trust people to confide in. If you do say, God bless you with that person, I by all means utilize them, you know, utilize them to the fullest, but, you know, find mechanisms or ways to get that out, like to get that pent-up frustration, to get that out, because we can wear our mask for as long as we want, but eventually that mask going to crack. It's going to crack because you hold it in so long, it starts to wear and tear. Me, it was two heart attacks. So it was like, okay, something's going to have to give. And I had to let go forgiveness. That was hard, but I had to do it. And when I did, it was like a ton of bricks just taken off. But even in today, you know, dealing with working full-time with my job, taking care of my son, you know, taking care of myself, you know, all the stress, and I won't say stress, but all the responsibilities that I have, it does take a toll on you. Because I don't know about you, but I know for me, there are times I love my children or whatever, I love my child, but sometimes I just need a break. And sometimes we don't have a break. So we have to find some type of outlet. So whether for me it's writing, praying, going into my me time closet, you know, it's just that type of thing. You have to find that place or that place, you know, where you can diffuse. It has to be because it's not healthy. It's really not healthy. And as long as you continue on that path, because, like I said, Lord knows, I don't want anybody to go through what I went through. You know, we all have a story, and there always is a story behind your smile. You know, when people say, you're always smiling, blah, 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 you know, I'm always that chick that will always check on someone. I'm always that one. And, you know, I recently had a situation. I'm always the person that always checks on someone. But when I go into my hiatus, when I don't want to be bothered because I just need some time for myself to get myself together, I have to deal with people's attitudes. Literally, like, I'm not understanding this. You know, when you're okay, you know, or when you're available, I should say, it is okay. But when I'm not available, it's not okay. So it's almost as like you're taking me for granted. You know, no, you just have to understand, like, you have a life, I have a life too. Just like you go through, I go through too. And sometimes, even though we have to be as strong as we are, sometimes I want somebody to check on me sometimes too. You know, and I would just encourage other people, if you have someone who is strong or whatever, always there, check on them sometime. Ask them, how you doing today? How you feeling today? Everything okay? Let's do something.
But they need to be genuine. I find that people ask, how are you? Bless you. People ask, how are you? And they do it out of like a ritual. Hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. As opposed to saying, no, how are you really? Like, I remember asking one of my friends, I said, how is your heart today? He was like, what? I said, how is your heart today? And he said, no one has ever asked me this. And I said, I really want to know, because he had lost his mother. And so there was this particular, I don't know if this was like the anniversary of him losing his mom or Mother's Day, but I knew that emotionally something was going on with him. Not saying he had an issue, but of course he would think about it. And I said, you know, I try to be intentional when I ask people how they are. And I want people to be intentional when they ask me how I am. Mm-hmm. So don't just be like, you doing all right today? If I say, no, I'm not, then be prepared to listen, because you just don't know, you know, what you're going to hear. Just make sure you're genuine and you're intentional.
You're genuinely concerned. Exactly.
Yeah. And then I like to tell people, don't just tell me you're doing okay, because that's always your response. I want to know truthfully, how are you? And sometimes I have to tell people that, and they go, oh, okay, because they're so used to people just generally, oh, you're doing all right today? Oh, girl, yeah, I'm good. And they keep on moving. It's like, no, I'm really not good today. And it's okay to not be.
Mm-hmm. Well, my thing is, don't ask questions you can't handle the answers to.
Right.
Don't ask questions you can't handle answers to. If you're not genuinely concerned, then don't ask me. I would prefer that you just don't ask me. Because once you show me that you're not genuinely concerned, don't ask me, don't worry about asking me again, because that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen because I know you're not genuine. And so, you know, I agree with you. You do have to, and that's why I'm really big about when I see people, look me in my eyes when I'm talking to you. When we're talking, I need to see you eyeball to eyeball, because the eyes are the gateway to the soul. And it's so funny, I saw a quote about that not too long ago, and I was like, gosh, that is right on point. I couldn't believe it. I was just like, you know, those are, let me see, a person who truly loves you is someone who sees the pain in your eyes while everyone else believes on the smile on your face.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yes. And that is so true. And that's why when I'm in tune with someone, when that means when I have a tithing with you, you can't tell me everything okay, because I already know it's not. I know. I'm going to use you as an example, Roxanne. When I call you and I be like, well, you know, what's up, Roxanne? I can tell. I can always tell when something is not right. And I'm like, nah, that ain't going to fly with me, so what's up? You know, and not just you, but those who are in my inner circle, because there are people know that when you deal with me, I'm going to give you straight up truth. But don't come to me thinking that you're going to throw something at me and thinking it's okay. It's not okay, especially when I know you better. You know, I know you well enough to know, no, that's not fine with me. What's going on? But I have learned, now I wasn't always like this, but I have learned how to back away. Like, if you could tell someone really don't want to talk about it, you just have to give them their space. And I had to learn that in my life. I wasn't all about people's space at one time, but I had to learn. And I would send a text, listen, I'm praying for you. I want you to know I'm here for you when and if you need me. But I know everything is not okay. So I'll just say I'm praying for you. And sometimes that speaks more volumes than anything. Hey, she didn't push, but she did let me know she was praying for. She acknowledged the fact I got something going on. I ain't ready to talk about it, but I appreciate the fact that she does acknowledge it, and she's being genuine and sincere and wants to see me through. That's all people want. All people want is sincerity. That's it, that you're sincere about what it is that you're trying to do. So, you know, hiding behind the mask, you know, sometimes people do that for so many reasons, but overall, I would say it's more a protective thing. You know, you're protecting your territory, you're protecting your own, you're protecting yourself spiritually, you're protecting yourself emotionally, you're protecting yourself mentally, because one, the worst thing you want to do is open yourself up and become vulnerable with someone who doesn't have sincere intentions or genuine intentions. It goes back to one of those, well, how you doing today? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, look, I'm going to talk to you later, blah, 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 click. You don't know, you could be that person's lifeline for not jumping off that bridge or taking that extra pill. So you got to be very careful and sincere about what it is that you do. So my thing is don't ask. Just don't ask.
Yeah.
Don't ask.
I think you have to be careful that we're not selfish either. I had a friend that every time I talked to her, I felt like I was always encouraging her and whatever she was going through. And this one time she called me, I was going through something. And so I decided that I would, you know, tell her what was going on. Man, that girl made me feel some kind of way, because she was like, this isn't the Roxy I know. Like, Roxanne, I know it's stronger than this. Like, you serious? Like, she was, and I just stopped, like, girl, I wanted to yell and cuss and everything, but I just realized that some people, you constantly pour into them. People are selfish. I'm always pouring into you. And the one time that my vessel is empty or near empty, I need you to pour into me, you just went and knocked the bottle over, knocked the rest out. And that bothered me, you know, because I'm like, I'm always, like she said, yeah, Like, I can't have a moment. Like, she really made me feel bad, but she really made me see her as, this person is not my friend. For you to come at me like that, I'm upset. You stronger than Rotten. I know it's stronger than this. Girl, bye. I'm always on the phone listening to you. And you, yes, I'm stronger than this. That should tell you something. But, yeah, everybody ain't your friend, honey.
No, you got to be, you definitely have to use the spirit of discernment. Or, you know, and as women, we have that sixth sense. We got that sixth sense to know. And not only just women, but just, you know, men, we get that notion. We know who's genuine. And I've learned everybody, everything glitter ain't gold. We had a show about that a couple months ago. Everything glitter ain't gold. I mean, think about it. One thing I've learned, people who talk about me, I mean, talk about other people to me, they're talking about me to other people.
Right.
So I am very leery and careful about and selective about what it is I want people to know. You know, because it's something that, and I'm very strategic too. I'm very strategic on who I tell and what I tell, because if it gets back, then I know who told it.
Right.
You know, it's one of those things. But as we go through life, you know, wearing these masks and stuff, some people use it for so many reasons. But the truth of the matter is you can't hold it in. And for those of you that have those friends who are very strong and always holding it down or whatever, take the time and just call them and be like, you know what, I'm just calling to see how you're doing. And I love what you said, Roxanne. How is your heart doing today? I love that. That would probably take me off guard, like, man, they really care about me. You know, be sincere. You know, if you're going to do it, have a sincere intent about it, because you just never know what that person may be going through. They may need that person to come out, because it's nothing worse than having to say, you know, it's always nice to be good, you know, be there for everybody, but for once, I would just love someone to be there for me. I don't,
right.
I feel like, why do I have to just even come to a point where I have to even let you know there's something going on? You mean tell me you can't tell something was going on? And I know that's wrong to think, but, you know, it's one of those things where you should, in your circle, I'm going to say in your circle because it can't just be anybody, in your circle, you should be able, you know, it's just one of those things where, you know, I want to know what's going on. Or I would love to hear, you know, Sheena, what's going on with you? I mean, how's life doing? Everything okay? You know, in this area, something that I know that only you know, something intimate to get into, you know, to say, you know, I'm just here for you. You know, I just want to know, let you know that I'm here for you. I love you. I have this thing now, and I've done it for years now. You know, I give you your roses while you're alive. So some people get tired of me saying I love you, but I say it for a reason. Because of one, I sincerely mean it. Two, you never know when someone needs to hear it, you know, because people go through, you know, they really, really go through. They really, really go through. And it's a song that I want to put out there for people. I'm not going to play it, but it's by Terry Dexter, and it's but I love that song. Oh, my gosh, it just talks about going through trials and tribulations and just how, you know, even to the point that you get, it becomes familiar to you to go through drama and stress. And then you finally get to that point where you find peace within, and there is no peace like this. No peace like the peace that's within you. Just like you said, yours was a process. Mine's a process too, because I know I've mentioned a couple shows ago that I decided to go back to therapy. And it was a little leery at first, but I'm so happy I did. And I'm looking forward to the outcome of it, because I know what my growth, I want my growth to be, and what my goals are as far as going back into therapy. So I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about what is to come. Roxanne, you know, I always appreciate you coming in and timing in. I just knew that you would be perfect for this particular one. And I just want to thank everyone who is tuning in to Chronicles of a Fonda Woman tonight. My name is Fachina Kirkendall. You can check me out on Facebook at Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. Also, I'm on Twitter at Chronicles of a Fonda Woman. And then also you can email me at C-O-A-F coafwoman at gmail.com. That's coafwoman at gmail.com. I love to hear your opinions like you've always been sending in. And if there are topics that you want us at Chronicles to address, please do that. My name is Christina Carcanal, and I'm going to leave you with this. My spouse hides my struggles, but despite my demons, I get up and try again. That is from workingwomen.com. I love you, but Christ loves you more. Good night.